Injuries, and more injuries. The NFL, they keep dropping like flies. LSU loses a key part of their secondary for the year. Odell Beckham who? Odell Beckham leads Gotham with a W. We'll find out more about Ohio U and their record-setting quarterback. And not so fast on the Saints season crumbling to oblivion, says one of our guests. Today, Tuesday, September 17th, 2019.
Chubb is back in the I formation with a blocking fullback that is Farrell Brown. He now goes to the tight end position. It's Mayfield under center from the 20, gets the snap and hands off to Chubb. Got a block at the 20, on the numbers, the 15, cuts to the 10, breaks a tackle at the 5, dives in, touchdown, Cleveland Browns. First and 10, fakes the handoff, and he throws to Odell. Beckham Jr. catches to the 25, foot race to the 30, on the hash mark, the 40, foot race to the 50, from the 40, on the numbers, the 30, breaks a tackle, 20, down the near sideline, 10, 5, touchdown! Odell Beckham Jr., a quick hitter, 89-yard touchdown pass!
Yeah, no, we absolutely need to play better. I think that's the biggest thing, is not losing sight of that a win is a win, especially on the road, and we needed this one. But, you know, field goals early on, we'll take points, but at the same time, we need to be able to finish those drives. And so, yeah, we need to play better. A little frustrating at times. I think, you know, I'll be able to look at this film and get a lot better from it.
Welcome, Odell Beckham Jr. Didn't get a lot of wins when he was in the Big Apple, but he got one last night, this time as a visitor with the Cleveland Browns as they took on the New York Jets. And the Jets lose their starting quarterback didn't play, Sam Darnold, because he's gotten mono, says he's feeling better. Trevor Siemian, the backup quarterback, gets tackled by Myles Garrett, one of his three sacks on the night. He breaks his ankle or something. He's done for the season. Quarterbacks dropping like flies. Eli Manning gets the news today. Benched. Danny Jones takes over week 3 for the New York Football Giants. Quarterbacks here, there, and everywhere. Wow. If you don't have one, you can't win. And a lot of teams are already waving the white flag of surrender as they are basically ditching the season and getting ready for next year. Good luck to that fan base. But with that, we say good afternoon and welcome. You dialed us up. We're glad you did. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show. Yours truly, Studio 1A, my main man, producer extraordinaire, CD, back in the master control suite in the 237 Roof Studios on the campus of Delta Media, which houses KLWB, 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com. We're brought to you each and every day by ShopRite Tobacco Plus discount outlets. There's a whole bunch of them, over 60 of them in southern and central Louisiana. It would take me the entire show to tell you all the specials, all the discounts they have within the four walls of their stores. So I can't do that. You got to trust me on this one. You can't find a better selection. You can't find better prices. You can't find cleaner, neater places. You just can't. If you can't shop right at ShopRite, man, telling you can't shop right at all. You just can't. All right, so we know now that that Drew Brees is going to get a second opinion and surgery is forthcoming. You hear 6 weeks, you hear 8 weeks. I'm not betting against Drew Brees coming back a little bit earlier. I'm not. With his work ethic, he is the ultimate warrior. If they say you got to do this 10 times, he's going to do it 1,000 times. He's just that kind of guy. And look, it's Teddy Bridgewater's opportunity. And no, that's not what the Saints were hoping for in their trek out West. And when Drew Brees exited the game early in the first half with that injury to his thumb on a routine play that could happen at any point in time in a football game. Teddy Bridgewater comes in. He was 17 of 30 for a buck 65, but no touchdowns. So the discussion all week towards Teddy Bridgewater is going to be negative. Look, we've been spoiled for 13 years by the realities of having a Hall of Fame quarterback named Drew Brees. This offense has been built around him. It's been built around his comfort zone. It's been built around his skill set. Then here comes Teddy Bridgewater with minimum, if any, reps with the offense during the week in a game plan built around what Drew Brees does best, and he's asked to perform at the same level. That's just insanity. That's just insanity. So Saints fans are going to have patience, and you're going to have to trust that the people running this, I think it's a world-class organization, have the vision that we don't. Look, the offense will and must change, and it must evolve into one suited best to what Teddy Bridgewater's skill set brings to the table. And that's what Sean Payton's going to do. And I have no doubt that those changes are being made right here, right now, as we speak, with the Saints up in Seattle. I'm not saying the entire offense is going to change, but the game plan will be plays that Bridgewater loves, not the plays that Drew Brees loves. The formations will fit his strengths. The personnel around him will be designed to make him comfortable. So let's wait and see, and let's allow this team to conform around Teddy Bridgewater. They paid him enough money. They believe in him. So we'll see what Teddy Bridgewater can do. He had the opportunity to be the starting quarterback at Miami. He looked at that roster and said, I'm going to get killed. Why would I want to go there? Why not learn from one of the best in the business, one of the best of all time in Drew Brees? Look how he works. Listen to how he commands respect. Follow what he does. Become his mime, so to speak. And learn. I'm still young enough. I'll have more opportunities. Now, the Saints lost two receivers Sunday. Tre'Quan Smith, Keith Kirkwood. Kirkwood never even stepped onto the field. That left the Saints with two receivers at the end of the game, and that forced Taysom Hill into the role of a wide receiver. And that's not ideal for your quarterback. So those injuries, and we haven't had any updates yet, are going to cause the Saints to make some maneuvers around the roster depending upon the length of time each is expected to miss. So time will tell. Time will tell. We've got we don't take many phone calls, but when we get them, we will oblige. So Brandon is joining us. He wants to talk about the Saints. So, Brandon, welcome to the show. What you got for me, big guy?
So, there's good and bad of all everything. The bad is, you know, we are spoiled. 13 years, Drew's only missed one game. That's amazing, being that he's arguably the second-best quarterback in the last 15 years. The good news is we only have one division game in the 6 weeks that he's going to be gone. He technically has 8 weeks to come back with the bye week, and he doesn't actually have to come back until the Sunday on the eighth week. So that's
correct.
All good news.
Correct.
Teddy just needs to win a couple games, and that is it. Drew will take care of it in the division. We're a weak division this year. My only fear with Teddy is, what if he practices good, but he's one of those guys that just can't put it together in a game? That's my fear with him, because that's what it looked like in preseason.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like in that game. And I'm not saying Taysom Hill is the answer, but Taysom, I see him as the opposite. He might not practice the absolute best, but the guy's just a winner when you put him in the game. He wants it. So I guess we'll see.
Brandon, I'm kind of with you on this. Yeah, Brandon, thanks for the phone call. I'm kind of with you on this. And I said it before. I said it yesterday, and I'll say it again. It came from Sean Payton's mouth. He said Taysom Hill might be the next Steve Young, a right-handed Steve Young. Steve Young, Hall of Famer. I don't know. I don't know about you, but let's see. Let's see what he can do. So Teddy Bridgewater will be given every opportunity under the sun. And so We'll see. Meanwhile, Saints also lost starting left guard Andrus Pete to an ankle injury. Will Cap filled in, settled in as the game wore on. I think he'll be okay. So there's a lot of question marks on this thing. So let's just hold on. Sean Payton, this is from his conference call yesterday. This is what he had to say on the update on Drew Brees.
Yeah, look, they're still in the midst of evaluating it. He's had one opinion, having a second opinion, and as soon as we know something that we can confirm, then we'll report it. But right now, it's kind of, you know, the stage we're in.
All right, stage you're in. So no report as of this time. Sean Payton, on his observations, and he said it, this is going to be an ugly tape to watch. Here's what he had. Here's what he observed after watching that debacle against the Rams.
I thought we played real well defensively, particularly in the first half. Got away from us later in the fourth quarter, but, you know, it was the type of game I felt that was necessary for us to play, and, you know, it was low scoring. Offensively, I didn't think we played particularly well up front. I think the penalties were a factor yesterday, just the amount. It negated three different games of more than 15 yards. So that's something we got to clean up on, and obviously quickly.
11 penalties for 87 yards, just way too untimely. And now with your veteran, your leader out, Sean Payton said leadership becomes even more important now.
Well, look, I think you focus on the things you can control, and I think that, you know, this is where you lean on leadership and you get ready to, you know, have a good week of practice. It's kind of the nature of our league sometimes. You know, you come in on a Monday, you got a handful of things you're having to address, and that's part of the deal.
Part of the deal. So we'll see. Saints, Seahawks this Sunday. From the great Northwest, Saints are staying out there practicing. When we get an update after the second opinion on Drew Brees, we'll let you know. It's Teddy Bridgewater's time. It's up to the coaching staff now to do and implement what he does best. And it's for everybody to get on board and back this guy and give him some help. That means offensive line has to give him some help. Michael Thomas has to do more. Alvin Kamara has to do even more. And the Saints have to figure out their other wide receiver position. Ted Ginn Jr. wasn't even targeted, and now Kirkwood's gone. Traquan Smith, is he going to be able to play? If not, do you bring up Emmanuel Butler off the practice squad? A lot of questions to be determined, and the Saints will certainly work on that as we speak. All right, we'll take a quick time out here. We'll come back with more. This is the Jordy Helfberg Show. Still to come in this hour, Cole Wright of the NFL Network. We'll talk about the latest development in the Big Apple. We'll also, in hour number two, hear from Russ Eisenstein, the voice, the play-by-play voice of the Ohio Bobcats. And there's a 6 degree of separation with Athens, Ohio, and Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We'll explain. Plus, Jeff Duncan will share his thoughts on the Saints in hour number two. This is the Jordy Helfberg Show, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com. Back in a moment.
You're listening to the Jordy Helfberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. Want to get in on the action? Call us up on the Ardco Equipment Hotline at 337-706-0111.
All right, saddle up, Acadiana. The Angola Prison Radio is coming, and 103.7 The Game wants to give you a family four-pack of tickets to the wildest, craziest show in the South. Just text the word Angola, A-N-G-O-L-A, to 68683 for your chance to win a family four-pack of tickets to the Angola Prison Rodeo. Giddy up, saddle up, Acadiana. We've talked about injuries on the forefront. LSU has lost a key member of their secondary after a play in the end zone against Northwestern State. Ed Orgeron summed it up best when he talked about Todd Harris.
Yeah, Todd's going to be out for a year, and we'll not be back with us this year, and hopefully we can use him as a redshirt. No, we will use this year as a redshirt year for him. Unfortunate. It was an unfortunate accident. He just landed on the ground wrong.
Yeah, he got caught up with a Demons receiver defending a deep pass near the end zone, a play in which he was flagged for pass interference. The LSU trainers helped Harris off the field. He was later seen on crutches with an ice pack on his knee. He's been the main safety used for deep coverage in LSU defensive coordinator Dave Aranda's scheme, which often uses three safeties at a time. Grant Delpit plays strong safety. Jacoby Stevens plays the quarters safety position, which is a half safety, half linebacker hybrid who plays at the edge of the line of scrimmage. And then there's Harris. So a constant rotation occurs in the LSU secondary during a game. It includes junior Kerry Vincent, who subs in at nickel safety to cover opposing teams' slot receivers. So the loss of Harris is going to force Dave Aranda to alter his rotation, which may mean shifting defensive backs to different positions within the system. So it's unclear exactly how the secondary rotation is going to work against Vanderbilt this Saturday at 11 a.m. in Nashville. But Orgeron said on Monday that Stevens is going to play back there in the place of Harris. I didn't think Harris has played particularly well, to be quite honest with you, but his loss comes at a juncture in which the secondary is in need of improvement. LSU is tied for 69th nationally with 221.7 yards passing allowed per game. And remember, Georgia State never, I mean, they're an option team. They don't throw it. So they gave up 409 yards against Texas, and then Northwestern was gashing them enough to force LSU to get out of that zone defense and switch back to man-to-man when LSU led just 24-14 at the half. The problem, obviously, you got to put pressure on the quarterback. You got to get a pass rush. I mean, you just can't you can't get away from it. So that's one of the things that LSU's got to work on. Now, in the last game, Michael Divinity, coach's decision, didn't play. Defensive ends Rashard Lawrence and Glenn Logan out with injuries. They'll be out again this week. Divinity will play. Kalavon Chaisson is a kind of a game-time decision. He's questionable. So unless the pass rush improves, the secondary is going to be facing some similar circumstances where they're going to have to cover receivers longer than they'd like to. And that's a recipe for disaster. I mean, LSU ranked 32nd nationally with 34 sacks in 2018, which included five games in which the Tigers recorded one sack or none. So they got some in bunches. And Orgeron said the pass rush is going to cost us. I mean, we're experimenting with different things. We did a better job of mixing in our blitzes. We're going to have to blitz. We're not ready to use just a four-man rush, not with the guys that we have. So we'll see what they come up with. And they got to come up with something now because now is the time. You get to play Vanderbilt, then you get an off week, then you play Utah State, and then the season really begins. You had your one against Texas. You got all these other ones. And then after that, Florida comes, and it's whew, here we go. Here we go. So you got to shore things up. Defensively. Here's Coach Orgeron from Monday giving us his quick version of the scouting report on a team that had a bye week last week, 2 weeks to prepare for LSU, the scouting report on Vanderbilt.
On offense, they've gone to the spread. They have a big-time running back in Keyshawn Vaughn, a running back. He's probably going to be an NFL player. And also Jarrett Pinckney, tight end. Those two guys will play in the NFL. And Lipscomb, who's from New Orleans, is a good receiver for them. On defense, they are 4-2-5. They're giving up 36 points per game. Coach Mason's a defensive guy. I know he's had 2 weeks to prepare. I know he's going to have an excellent defensive game plan against us.
Yeah, a plan is one thing. Then you got to execute it. LSU's got better players and more of them. It's a conference game, so you can't bring the whole house along with you. But look, LSU just needs to take care of their business in this one. Defense has to shore things up, and they ought to be just fine, right? They ought to be just fine. In this one, 11 o'clock kickoff in Nashville. Joe Burrow continuing, setting the pace. He's leading in so many statistical categories. And again, here's Coach O one more time talking about, and it's not only here, but it's a national thing. I mean, his chances, he is coming to the forefront of this Heisman Trophy race, and we haven't talked about a Heisman Trophy winner in so long, and certainly not from the quarterback position. So while we got it, we got to milk it. Coach O was asked if Joe is a Heisman contender.
Well, we all know the answer to that is yes, he is, and he's that good. You have to win the big game. I think that you have to win the big game. You have to take us to the SEC championship and take us to the championship. And not to say that you can't win it without it, but if you do those things, you got a good chance of winning. And, who says we can do that? I don't know. But I've been a part of three national championship teams, and that was a big part of those guys winning the Heisman. I guarantee you that.
Guarantee you that. Team goals first. If the team goals are accomplished, the individual awards soon thereafter follow. It's just he's absolutely accurate, absolutely correct on all of that. So we'll see. Burrow and the Tigers heading to Nashville for a little brunch Saturday morning. Yes, indeed. Music City World. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. Back to the NFL. Cole Wright, NFL Network, with all the latest news on the Not For Long League here on the Jordy Helfrich Show.
Taking the hottest topics out there and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game.
Well, there's no shortage of topics to talk about when dealing with the NFL. My goodness gracious, crazy times in the league, and we're only after week two of the NFL season. I remember our next guest, he used to be sitting behind a sports desk as an anchor for sports with in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, now a meteoric rise and doing a tremendous job for the NFL Network out there in Los Angeles. Cole Wright, kind enough to join us. Big timer, thanks for the time. How you been, man?
I've been well, man. Anytime. I'm glad that you had me on. And, you know, I feel like we just had a short conversation not too long ago from our, you know, our interaction on social media. But, man, let's get into it. How are you feeling today?
I'm doing great. I don't know how they're feeling in Pittsburgh. I know how Saints fans are feeling. You know, your quarterback is everything. Roethlisberger done for the year. Drew Brees out for, we hope, only 6 weeks. Teddy Bridgewater, the highest paid backup quarterback out there. Do you think the Saints can tread water until Brees gets back?
I mean, I'd like to think so. I mean, that's the reason why, you know, you locked Teddy Bridgewater up with that deal. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, $9 million, as you touched on, the highest paid backup in the league. And,
yeah.
You know, I think that he knew there was a reason why he didn't want to go to Miami. Like, do I want to go to Miami and be the starter potentially, or do I want to stay here in New Orleans and be Drew Brees' backup? I think I'll just stay in the Crescent City and just enjoy the fruits of my recent labor. So I think that's, you know, one of the good things for the Saints. And, you know, Teddy Bridgewater is better than serviceable when it comes to the quarterback position. So I think the Saints will be just fine. But there's that small shred that Saints fans out there, and they're still holding their breath because, you know, it's 6 weeks right now. Originally, it was slated at 6 to 8 weeks. for Drew Brees. And, you know, when you have, anytime you have to see a hand specialist, I don't know too many great conversations that have started off with hand specialists, unless that's your job and you're talking about how much money you make every single year.
No question about that. And to your point, I see where the Dolphins are historic underdogs this weekend as they take on the Cowboys. I mean, they're tanking for Tua or whatever, for sure, and the Jets are huge underdogs to the Patriots. I mean, look, they lose Sam Darnold, who says he's feeling better. Simeon's lost for the season. So many quarterbacks going down. It's just it's been an epidemic so far this year.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's unfortunate to see, especially, you know, with Ben out for the year in Pittsburgh, and, you know, you have Mason Rudolph taking the reins there, and obviously Gardner Minshew down there in Jacksonville because Nick Foles is banged up, and, you know, it's unfortunate because you know, you enter the season with these high hopes and expectations that these are the guys who are going to be able to lead you to success, and to see it already go out of the window, you know, in week one and then week two. I mean, it's discouraging, and not just for the players and everybody that's involved inside of the building. It's discouraging for the fan base. You know, fan bases, you wait all season long. I mean, it's the shortest season and the longest off season. So you wait all season long for your team maybe have a crack at it, you know, and then when it finally comes, it's like, I can't believe this. And, you know, being from Chicago, I know, you know, the rumblings, you know, coming out of Chicago, is, you know, the quarterback's clearly healthy right now, but he's not really playing like he's very healthy. I mean, and everyone talks about the fact that, oh, man, the Bears could have had Deshaun Watson, they could have had Patrick Mahomes and this, that, and the other, but at the end of the day, they don't. So we have to make do with Mitchell Trubisky right now and hope that he takes that next step.
We'll get to Mitch Trubisky and some of the calls from officials later on, but we're talking with Cole right now, and you mentioned fan bases. What's the New York Giants fan base thinking right now? Eli Manning has been benched. Danny Jones has been elevated to the starting quarterback week three. I thought it'd take a little bit longer, but here we are.
Yeah, I thought he had a little bit bigger of a window than in week three, and I think that, you know, his offense is really depleted outside of Saquon Barkley. So it's, you know, it's speculation, but I don't really think that Eli got the most fair of shakes. But, you know, we'll see about that. And, you know, it's, I mean, I don't know how much of the realm of possibility it is, but, you know, who says there's not a chance that, you know, Eli comes down maybe once upon a time and plays for the New Orleans Saints if they have, you know, room. If, you know, heaven forbid anything were to ever happen to Teddy Bridgewater, because I would love to see Teddy Bridgewater play and play up to his potential that we know that he's, you know, earned over the years as a starter. We know, and we've seen him before in a starting role. I'd like to see him be successful once again. And to do that, you know, and keep the seat warm for Drew, that'd be unbelievable. But, you know, it's like you said, it's just all these different injuries that have happened so early on in the season, and for Eli to not even be injured, to just not be playing well, and to already get that plug pulled on him for Daniel Jones. I mean, if you're Giants fans, I mean, you have to be, you know, I feel like you're sitting on the fence right now, because as excited as you are to see the new era of New York Giant quarterback play come in, I think you're also a little bit disappointed that the guy that brought you two Super Bowls, you know, over the last 15 years, he's out of there. And, I mean, he was a guy that you could count on, you know, week in, week out. He was that guy that was always penciled in the starting lineup until he wasn't, by Ben McAdoo. And then, you know, he made his triumphant return, and things just really haven't been the same since. So I think in New York, they're frustrated. Mm-hmm. It is the world's largest media market, so they're thirsty for wins again. But it's just, the question is, when are those wins going to come around?
Giants, Jets having a tough go. Cole Wright, NFL Network. Does Colin Kaepernick finally get a call from someone to come and play quarterback for them?
You know, as much as I would like to see it, because I think his skill set, you know, would warrant a position on a National Football League roster. However, I just feel that, you know, he's getting close to 1,000 days that he hasn't been in the league. And, you know, we've seen, you know, what do they call him, Jags, just another guy. We've seen, you know, multiple just another guys get signed, whether it be the practice squads or to respective teams. It's just, I just feel that he's not going to get that call. And as unfortunate as it is, I don't think we're going to see him play in the National Football League again.
Interesting. You know, we saw this all started with Andrew Luck saying, enough is enough. I can't take this being hurt again, time after time after time, rehabbing time after time after time. And it seems to me, here we go with Cam Newton at Carolina. His status is unclear after re-injuring his foot. I'm told he's not going to play this weekend. It seems to me he has no joy out there. They're not winning. He's not, you know, if he can't run, he can't play quarterback. And every time he runs, he gets hurt. It just seems to me Cam Newton might be the next guy that takes the Andrew Luck approach and just throws up the white flag and says, I've had enough of this. I've got plenty of money. I don't need the pain and the aggravation anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't doubt if he rolls some of that money and starts his own designing house with all the different outfits that he puts together. I mean, this cat's out here wearing hats wrapped in barbed wire. Maybe that's what happened with his ankle. Maybe he tripped over that barbed wire hat. Who knows? But, you know, it's I don't know if his heart is 100% there. And then again, I don't know if his head's 100% there. I mean, I look at a guy, and no disrespect, maybe it's like I said, I'm just the old guy in the barbershop. But when I see a guy that's devoting that much time and effort to his outfits, in losing efforts, I mean, the fact that he just lost this last weekend, and when he's sitting there getting ready to go do his post-game press conference, he pulls out that babushka that my 94-year-old Aunt Florence used to wear till the day she died, and he wraps his head up and then goes out and addresses the media in a losing fashion. I just don't get it. You know, I'm saying, we work with a whole bunch of Hall of Famers up here. And, you know, I've heard Deion Sanders say, not about Cam, but about just every guy specifically. Like, you have to have an outfit. If you want to dress flashy, there's no problem with that. But if you want to dress flashy, you have to have a winning outfit and a losing outfit. And I just haven't really seen that from Cam. He seems to roll with just one outfit. He likes to pack light. And, I mean, those outfits just don't really come off so great. I mean, it's all about optics in 2019, and the optics don't look great when you're wearing an outfit like that, especially when you've only won one in your last 10.
Cole Wright, NFL Network. Now we have defensive backs saying, trade me. We've got Minka Fitzpatrick leaving from the Dolphins and going to the Steelers for a first-round pick. And now we got Jalen Ramsey getting into a verbal confrontation with Doug Marrone, his coach, on the sideline. You talk about optics. The optics just don't look good. Now he wants to be traded. What the heck's going on here?
Yeah, I think it just seems to be a sign of the times. You know, it's that reset button. It's the kids just wanting to refresh their Twitter timelines or whatever's going on Instagram. When they say when the going gets tough, the tough don't really get going now. They just want to get going somewhere else. You know, it seems like these guys, if they encounter a rough patch, then they're ready to go on to greener pastures. And like you see it even at the college level. If a guy is a quarterback it doesn't really matter position specific, but we've seen guys that are like, well, I'm not starting as a freshman, I'm out of here. You know, I think back in the day we saw more of an approach like, I'm not starting as a freshman. Well, guess what? I'll work my tail off and I'll try to start as a sophomore. It doesn't happen then, and I'll just blow up the spot as a junior and a senior. We just don't see that anymore. Everyone has been told that they're the greatest and they want to play now. And I'm not saying that's necessarily the case with Jalen Ramsey or Minka Fitzpatrick, but it seems to fall right in line with, you know, the generational gap that I think that, you know, that I see with these kids and my age group. And I'm sure you see the same thing, Jordy.
Yeah, no question. Cole Wright, NFL Network. Who's the most fun to work with out of all those NFL Hall of Famers that you get to work with?
Oh man, I'll tell you, Terrell Davis, pretty cool cat, pretty fun to work with. World's luckiest golfer.
Yeah.
Anthony Lynn is his buddy, so I mean, Anthony Lynn's even co-signed on that. MJD, not a Hall of Famer yet, but you know, he's on the ballot, so we'll see. But he's, you know, I do fantasy with him, I do Total Access with him. You know, we do stuff on Sundays, so he's always a blast to work with. Everyone that works up here, man, they're all great guys.
Well, you're a busy man. Continued success to you, man. I'm proud of you. Thanks for the time, and we'll call on you again down the road, buddy. So take care. Thank you.
Absolutely. Anytime. Let's go hit Sammy's on Island next time I'm in Baton Rouge.
It's on me, big guy. It's on me. We'll take a timeout. That's Cole Wright, NFL Network, brought to you by Peterbilt of Louisiana. Every truck driver craves to be a Peterbilt truck driver, because they're the best, the most reliable, the most dependable, the most comfortable, the most affordable, just the very best. When the Tigers travel, their equipment to Nashville. They travel with a Peterbilt truck. We're back to wrap up hour number one next. The Jordy Helpert Show, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
Here's three pieces of advice to live by. Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game.
When I think of 1037 The Game, I think about a station that just keeps giving and giving and giving each and every day. We got another Mr. Lester's $150 gift certificate giveaway. $150. Now, to enter to win this $150 gift certificate to Mr. Lester's Steakhouse, located inside Cypress Bayou, you just go to the game, 1037 The Game Clubhouse, at 1037thegame.com, enter in, and, I mean, what does it take? It takes nothing on your behalf, just a little effort on the computer, boom, 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 done, and you could win $150 from Mr. Lester's. I've never been to Mr. Lester's. I'd like to go. I hear it's a great steakhouse. Mr. Lester, I can't win the gift certificate, but I can go. Let me know. Invite me. 1037 The Game. Mr. Lester's. All right. Touching back on what we just talked about with Cole Wright of the NFL Network, sources close to Colin Kaepernick, in light of all the quarterback injuries, say that Colin is literally in the best shape of his life. He's been working out 5 days a week at 5 a.m. for 3 years. He wants to play, and his agent has been contacting teams in need of a quarterback. I'd be shocked. I just don't see it happening. I'm sorry. Just don't see it happening at all. All right, to the college front. We always get humored by the coach who loves Pirates, and he just keeps on giving. Mike Leach, in his press conference today, the coach at Washington State, was asked which Pac-12 mascot would win a battle. And his answer, as always, did not disappoint.
First of all, what kind of mythical powers does a Sun Devil have? We've got to consider that. I'm going to say the Wildcat's out. The Trojan, does he have a horse or is he on foot? Does he have a bow and arrow or just his sword? The Bruin, definitely formidable. Another bear up there at Cal. The tree, I imagine that tree's going to get chopped down. Unless we're going to go with a bird and somebody might get pecked or something, I don't know. The duck might lose interest and just fly away and get out of there, which may be good advice under the circumstances. The husky, no chance. The beaver, well, we'll see how long that beaver can hold his breath. The ute, again, we're back to, is he on horseback? Does he have a bow and arrow? Did he trade for a rifle? I mean, you know, because if that ute's got a rifle, there's some definite problems. You know, you'd have to get one of those Harry Potter activists to read up on how you kill a Sun Devil, because there's a lot of outside stuff there. Just as far as a beast alone, a buffalo's going to be pretty hard to tangle with. I mean, a buffalo's utterly outstanding. Did I leave any of them out? The cougar will find a way. Clear-minded and crafty, a combination of stay out of harm's way and attack when you get your chances or your openings.
Mike Leach with his – he got them all. He got him on that buffalo. Well, that has got to be one of the coolest things, to see that buffalo charging down the field. I mean, and you better have some strong hands and a lot of them to control that thing. But that's pretty awesome. I got to admit, that's one of those cool, cool, cool mascots, the Colorado Buff, the buffalo. All right, the Raging Cajuns, of course, getting ready to head to Ohio. They opened up the season on the road, but it was a neutral site in the Superdome, and many, many Cajun fans went there. Then you had back-to-back home games, so now you're venturing into hostile territory for the first time all season long. Billy Napier talked about the difficulties that a true road game presents.
I think that, you know, the most important thing is it's going to come down to fundamentals, It's going to come down to how well we execute the plan that we install this week. And that's where we're going to focus, you know, preparation, certainly the self-discipline to be ready mentally and physically this week. That's what's going to create confidence in how well we understand what we're trying to do and how we execute that and what type of fundamentals that we play with.
All right, so fundamentals, you got to execute, there's no question, but you face a really, really good team, one of the powerhouses of the MAC, which is a league very similar to the Sun Belt Conference. And Napier talked about the challenge in facing the Ohio Bobcats.
We've got a heck of a challenge in front of us this week. We play a really good Ohio football program that is well coached. They've got a great blueprint. They played winning, consistent football. Coach Solich has done a great job of creating stability there as he's built that program. They're undefeated at home last year. This is a hard place to play. It will challenge all the intangibles that we've worked hard to build in the offseason.
They scored 77 against Texas Southern, but they only gave up 6. Napier talked about his defense that is improving week by week.
I think that our defense is improving. You know, I think that's the biggest thing that we've learned is that we've made fundamental improvements. I think we're doing a good job mixing it up schematically as well. We're covering better. We're fitting runs better. But this will be as good of a challenge as we've had here. You know, this is a really good offensive line and a really good quarterback. And typically, those are the things that can give you issues. When a quarterback knows what he's doing and when they've got an offensive line that can get the ball to the second level.
They're confident. And as Coach Napier said, in a 77-6 rout, back-to-back wins after the season opening loss to Mississippi State, at 2-1, a lot of guys stepped up and moved forward against Texas Southern.
Well, you know, guys took a step forward. Andre Jones was voted player of the week, one of the players of the week on defense. You know, I think you see that Kendall Wilkerson is a defensive lineman that is emerging. I think a number of the young corners played good in the game. A.J. Washington. You know, I think that you see that some of those young receivers, like Brian Smith Jr. and Peter LeBlanc, are taking steps forward. You know, it was great to get Ave an opportunity to play, certainly able to play Clifton, able to play Chandler. You know, we played a lot of players that I think all that experience is going to benefit the team and them as individual players going forward.
Absolutely correct. 1 o'clock kickoff. We will learn much, much more about the Ohio Bobcats. Russ Eisenstein, the play-by-play voice of the Bobcats, will join us at around 3:15 in hour number two. So we look forward to that. That's all we can do for 1 hour. We got to take a break. When we come back, hot topics, more about the Bobcats, more about the Saints with Jeff Duncan, a jam-packed second hour brought to you by ShopRite Tobacco Plus Discount Outlets. If you can't shop right at ShopRite, you just can't shop right at all. The Jordy Helfrich Show rolls on. Hour number two straight ahead on 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pull off another miracle.
This is Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game.
Touchdown, New Orleans.
Streaming live on the 1037 The Game mobile app and online at 1037thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won.
This is the Jordy Hultberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Hultberg.
Hour number 2 of 2, and away we go. Brought to you by Peterbilt of Lafayette, Louisiana's newest Peterbilt dealership. Your complete resource for trucks, parts, service, and more. We've been serving South Louisiana for over 3 years, selling and servicing the full line of Peterbilt trucks, over-the-road conventionals and cab overs, vocational trucks, and medium-duty pickup and delivery vehicles. Every model that bears the Peterbilt red oval. If you need service, contact Tim Hebert. If you need parts, Brandon Frederick will help you. We're located at I-10 Exit 100, Peterbilt of Louisiana, the best of the best. The best of Monday Night Football. They were the first game ever put on Monday Night Football, the Browns and the Jets. And the Jets lost their backup quarterback last night. The Browns get the win, and Odell Beckham Jr. returned to Gotham and showed Greg Williams, yeah, I'm still a pretty good player. On this play in particular.
First and 10, fakes the handoff. He throws to Odell. Beckham Jr. catches in the 25, foot race to the 30, on the hash mark, the 40, foot race to the 50, from the 40, on the numbers, the 30, breaks a tackle, 20, down the near sideline, 10, 5, touchdown. Odell Beckham Jr., a quick hitter, 89-yard touchdown pass, Baker Mayfield to Odell Beckham Jr. in his return to MetLife Stadium.
No doubt. We had, Coach Campy had this play put in. Baker had this play put in. And I knew that it was going to be a big play. And I knew that I was going to be out of there if my hamstrings could hold up. For some reason tonight, it was just, they were tight. I didn't know if I was going to make it all the way to the end zone. But God willing, I did.
Beckham, 89 yards. Had an 89-yarder about 7 years earlier when he was at LSU. And guess who was there beside him, side by side? Jarvis Landry. Let's do what we do each and every day at this time of day. CD, hit that button, please.
Here's today's Hot Topics, brought to you by Cajun Chef. Spice up your life with Cajun Chef products. Delectably delicious, decidedly better.
All right, Mr. Domain, what you got today, buddy boy?
Not too much, Jordy, but I got to say, first things first, before I got to get started with Hot Topics, I got to show you some love, Jordy. Congrats to you, my man. Start getting week two in the books in fantasy football. The Jordy Holtberg Show League, the Jordy Holtberg Show fantasy football team got the win, 87 points to 70.
Whoa.
Yeah,
for
Jordy.
Not knowing what the heck I'm doing, I mean, I guess every squirrel gets a nut every now and then.
Exactly.
Let's go.
Well, I think we'll have to talk about making some changes to the lineup, especially after what happened this past week with Drew Brees.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think my quarterback is history. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see who we can wind up getting, Jordy, off the waiver wire. But, man, Jordy, I think obviously one of the big things we need to talk about is what's going on with the New York Giants elevating Daniel Jones to starting quarterback. Should be no surprise when you really think about it because of how everything went in that Monday meeting where we're going to have, I believe, Dave Gettleman basically say, hey, he's probably he didn't name Eli Manning to start. He didn't appoint him that part. But it's crazy to think Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, Drew Brees, it's been over 2,000 days, I saw earlier, that they haven't, that all three of them haven't played on a Sunday. I believe since like since like 2003. That's the last time we didn't have these three guys playing in the league, and it's in week three. It's wild.
It is crazy. So the NFL is thankful for Pat Mahomes. He's thankful for Deshaun Watson. It's thankful for Baker Mayfield. They want these young quarterbacks to continue to carry the league because we've been blessed with some really, really good ones. But old Tom Brady's still plugging away. Phillip Rivers still plugging away. Brees will be back. The Steelers say Roethlisberger will definitely be back in 2020. Time will tell. But no surprise. I personally think Eli's done. I don't know if anybody else is going to. What does he bring to the table for any other team that's in need of a quarterback? I think Eli is done. Great career, won a couple Super Bowls, but this Giants team is awful. Defensively as well, they're awful.
They are awful, and it's weird to say right now, Jordy, the team that New York has to kind of pull for is the Buffalo Bills. No one's circling the wagons like them right now. 2-0, and both wins on the road. How about the Buffalo Bills start of the season? Josh Allen looking really good.
I'm telling you, he has been very, very impressive, well coached. Yeah, you win two games in the NFL on the road. I don't care who it's against. You win on the road, that's a pretty impressive thing. So can they give the Patriots a run for their money? Hell no. But it's the worst division in football. But good for the Bills. Nobody circles the wagons, right?
Like the Buffalo Bills. You're about to get me mad, Jordy, because I was just kind of getting over this yesterday. Because I don't know if you noticed this or not, but NFL primetime made its return on Sunday, but you weren't able
What's
to catch
that?
It. You weren't able to catch it on the mothership or the Deuce. You had to pay for it through the paywall that is known as ESPN Plus.
I'm sorry.
I was all in a tizzy when I saw a push notification not long after the Saints-Rams game wrapped up. And I'm like, oh boy, I can watch it. I'm like, oh, it's on the Plus. Oh man, now I got to pay for this.
Yeah. Mr. Jackson and I'm not
from
doing that.
Sorry. Louisville.
But I tell you what, they miss them because I don't like some of the pregame shows now. They're just too long, too much. I just don't like it. I don't have time for that. Show me the game. You love the red zone package.
Jordy.
Show me the games and let's move on.
Jordy, I'm so upset. Thank you for putting another kind of salt in the wound there. Because it was like red zone for 2 free weeks. Now I have to pay for that now. If I want it.
Oh, come on, Clint. I mean, open up that wallet and let those moths breathe a little bit.
Hey, Jordy. Sometimes you got to know where to spend the money right. And I think I'll wind up finding a way to have my red zone, have my cake, and eat it too. We'll see. But, Jordy, we got to talk about it with the mud. Drew Brees and the future with him out for the next possibly 6 weeks. What record do you think the Saints will have with Teddy Bridgewater, Taysom Hill? What record do you think they have through these next 6 games heading to that bye week?
Wow. I'm hoping they stay 500. That's what I'm hoping for. And you know what? This aggravates me about this, that Drew Brees is out, that now Tom Brady is going to pass for yards, and he's going to get the passing yardage record ahead of Drew Brees until Brees comes back. So that's what aggravates me the most about it with that situation. I know. I'm hoping for 500.
Put an asterisk.
Forget about Seattle. It ain't happening. It ain't happening against Seattle. Dallas, another big challenge. I tell you, Dallas might be one of the top 2 or 3 teams in the league right now the way they're playing. But there you go. There's your Hot Topics. Cajun Chef, bring a small bottle of Cajun Chef hot sauce with you wherever you go. Everything tastes better with Cajun Chef on it. The Ohio Bobcats, a preview next.
Are you looking for the latest? The Blonde Bomber is back and better than ever as you're locked into the Jordy Hultberg Show on 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the free mobile app.
Second down, 1. Bobcat 28. Cats down 3. 11:29. Spinning clock, quarter 4. Warwick readies and takes a snap. It's an option to the left. Warwick with speed. Turns the corner. Slips through a hole. Got a first down. On the run, 40. 45, 50. Foot race on. Warwick's going to run. He's going to run. 15, 10, 5, 6 for the Cats. Run. Warwick, run. Touchdown, Ohio. 30-27 to Bobcats. 11:14 to go.
That was the voice of the play-by-play for the Ohio Bobcats. And our next guest, Russ Eisenstein, kind enough to join us. That was his quarterback, Run Rourke Run. Nathan Rourke with a 72-yard run to finish the game against Marshall. His 84th career touchdown. No one's had more touchdowns as an Ohio Bobcat than Nathan Rourke. But it's a thrill to welcome in Russ. Russ and I go way back. He was involved with the then Oklahoma City / New Orleans Hornets when they had to evacuate New Orleans because of Katrina, go to Oklahoma City. But Russ, now the longtime play-by-play voice for Ohio University, he joins us now. Russ, great call of the game, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jordy. It's great to talk to you again. It's amazing how quickly time flies by. And thanks for the compliments and the call. Yeah, it was a lot of fun on a night in Huntington. Unfortunately, Ohio couldn't see it all the way through. Lost 33-31, and we'll see the Cajuns coming up on Saturday.
That's exactly right. Nathan Rourke started off. He's from Ontario, Canada. Played his high school ball there. Then he goes to Edgewood Academy in Elmore, Alabama for his senior year, goes to Fort Scott Community College in Kansas for his freshman year. Then he makes the trek to Ohio U, and once he got there, man, he just set the world on fire, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been really good. He's, I think, one of the best quarterbacks in the country when he's on, and he's been on a lot here. He's smart. He's confident. He's incredibly humble. He's got to be one of the more humble star quarterbacks that you'll ever find. And we're around athletes all the time. I mean, you were an athlete yourself, so you know how it is. I mean, there's a certain kind of bravado that you have. There's a certain kind of confidence that you have as a star player. But most certainly now in this day and age, you kind of see guys that are the humble ones that really stick out. Not to say that one's right or one's wrong. It's just something that really strikes you about Nathan. And he's a proud Canadian. He's proud to be a Bobcat. You mentioned, and great research there, 84 touchdowns now, 4 on Saturday. So he really can combine a lot of things. And he's been really, really fun to watch. He's got a really good arm, great decision-making. He runs the options well, much like you heard in that play-by-play clip there. So he really is a total package quarterback.
Russ Eisenstein, the voice of Ohio University, kind enough to join us. Frank Solich, well-documented. I can't believe he's been there as long as he has after his career at Nebraska. What kind of an influence has he had? He's got a program there now. He's developed a program, and year in and year out, when you talk MAC football, you talk Ohio U.
You do, and what he's done here is elevate expectations, and he's turned Ohio University football into a winner. The amount of bowl wins, the amount of wins in general, he's at 107, so he's a couple away from being the all-time MAC leading head coach, Herb Deromedy, who was a head coach at Central Michigan for a number of years. Set that standard, and Frank's going to reset that mark. What he's done here is do it in a perfect spot for him. After everything that happened at Nebraska, and I remember going to the College World Series for a couple of years just as a fan, and if I had a Bobcat polo on, Nebraska fans would definitely say that they missed him there and still follow him there. We have Bobcat fans who are also Husker fans that follow Frank and reach out to us on the broadcast, and it's really been a cool deal, and turned what was a shocking negative into a positive, because frankly, I think everybody knows he never should have been let go at Nebraska. But what that turned into here was taking a football program that it never really won in the modern era. You got to go back to the 60s for winning records and winning seasons. But he's done it. He's done it with class. He's done it with integrity. And he's done it consistently. You can mark the Bobcats down for 7-9 wins pretty regularly, because that's what Ohio's done. And Ohio most certainly is in contention again for a MAC title.
Who is the biggest rival for Ohio?
Miami University. So those would be the two mainstays of the MAC.
Okay.
Ohio is the last charter member left in the league. And they're two very similar schools, but they have two very different kind of approaches. I guess you can take a look at some subtle differences, but long-standing members of the MAC, Battle of the Bricks, two city streets, downtown areas that are brick streets, and therefore they're called the Brick Battle, the Battle of the Bricks, Ohio and Miami, and that's the long-standing rival.
All right, Russ Eisenstein, the voice of Ohio University, the Bobcats and the Raging Cajuns meet up 1 o'clock on Saturday at Peden Stadium. Tell me about Peden Stadium. How many people does it hold?
Peden Stadium will get up around 25,000. It's an old stadium. It's one of the older stadiums that you'll see, and it's pretty cool from a setting standpoint. We're down here in what's called Appalachian Ohio, so we're closer to West Virginia and Kentucky than we are to even, say, Columbus. We're about 70 miles away from Columbus, so this is a real pocket of a beautiful area of the country. And so there's the Hocking River, which is just to the south of the stadium, and you see that. And then when the leaves start to change a little bit, the ridges that are around, it's really a beautiful spot. It's a place I'm sure that many schools in Louisiana have incredible pride, but I'm struck by the great deal of pride that Ohio alums and fans all over the world have. I mean, this place has a special meaning to a whole lot of people, and you see it through pride in the athletic department, pride in the band, pride in the university in general. So it is a really, really pretty spot.
I have been there. I've done a couple of college basketball games in my career there, and it's a beautiful, beautiful place. And, man, hopefully the weather will be great on Saturday. But when we mention Ohio University, Athens, Ohio, it strikes a bell to me that a current LSU player cut his teeth there with his dad being the longtime defensive coordinator there. And I'm talking about the Burrow family. Are fans in Athens, Ohio, do you see them around wearing, heaven forbid, an LSU jersey every now and then?
Without a doubt. And actually, I could look outside my front door right now and I could see Rutter Field, the home of the Athens Bulldogs. And, yeah, what Joe Burrow was able to do with others, and there are a couple other players that have gone on from that state runner-up team, what he did here was really remarkable, just the way that he played and the stats that he put up. So it was really awesome to see him kind of grow as a college athlete and turn into a wonderful situation at LSU. And in fact, there's one road that I take into Athens. I'm just outside of town. And there's a house that's up on a little bit of a ridge, and they've got a Bobcat flag, and they've got an LSU flag up there. And, in fact, I think there are around 300, maybe more, fans that are going to make the six-hour drive down to Nashville this weekend to see Joe Burrow and those Bayou Bengals up against Vanderbilt. So there'll be a lot of Athens folks down in Nashville this weekend.
I'll be darned. It's a small, small world. We're very, LSU fans are very thankful for Athens, Ohio, and the way things have turned out. It looks like Ohio State's really good, and LSU looks really good as well. But back to your thoughts on this game. The Raging Cajuns run the ball very, very well. I mean, the past two games, they've had over 400 yards on the ground. Frank Solich, known for a lot of things, always a good defense when he was at Nebraska. So when you look at the matchup and the research that you've done, what are the keys in this ball game, in your opinion?
Well, how Ohio defends the run. Tackling was an issue against Marshall, and that's been the talk of the postscript of that ball game. Ohio got the offense revved up again, and what you read in the stats and read the accounts and heard of the play-by-play of the game at Marshall, that's what Ohio can do. They're still looking for their reliable playmakers on the offensive side. They have weapons, but Ohio graduated two incredible receivers and two really good running backs from last year. So we're into week four and still trying to find some of those reliable answers. We saw a little bit of that last week. Nathan Rourke, of course, is going to lead that offense. But the concern is the run game, defending against it, and tackling. Ohio led the nation in turnovers gained last year. They're negative in that turnover ratio this year after 3 weeks. So creating more opportunities for what is a pretty dynamic offense when they're right, and making sure that the Cajuns don't bust out. Now, again, you know, the 700-plus yards and the 77 points against Texas Southern, you got to look at that through a certain lens. It was an incredibly impressive win.
Sure.
But against FCS competition. I think this is big for both sides, Jordy, because, you know, this was a chance for Ohio to piece together a sneaky good non-conference schedule. Obviously, folks in our neck of the woods know about the Sun Belt because the MAC and the Sun Belt are fairly similar from battling for attention across the country and showing that there's good football here. So
right. This
is a good game to play. And it's important prior to going into the bye week for Ohio, before the MAC opener against Buffalo, to really get the buzz and momentum going. And I you know, a friend of mine who was a former head of the Cajun Club, Jim Harris, who's at Maryland now, I got to meet some boosters and fans of the Cajuns, and some that I still talk to now. Proud program, great team, really looking forward to seeing this matchup on Saturday.
Green versus red, Saturday, 1 o'clock, Peden Stadium at Ohio University. Russ, Eisenstein, the voice of the Bobcats, kind enough to join us. It was an unfortunate circumstance for many, but that was some fun times in Oklahoma City, and that fan base really really accepted Chris Paul and David West and Tyson Chandler and Peja Stojakovic. That was some fun times, man.
It really was, and you're right. It was just unfortunate of everything that happened and how it transpired. But it was such an interesting part of our broadcast careers and to see Oklahoma City, but then broadcast back to New Orleans and Louisiana and Mississippi. It's something I'll never forget. And, you know, I left the Hornets in hopes of having a long play-by-play career. I'm still on that path, and we'll see where it leads me. But I'll never forget NOLA, Oklahoma City, Mississippi, and all the stuff and you that went into that.
You'll be fine, Russ. Continued success, and have a great call. What should be a really, really good game on Saturday. Thank you for the time, buddy.
You bet, Jordy. Great talking to you.
All right, take care. That's Russ Eisenstein, the voice of the Bobcats. 1 o'clock, Raging Cajuns, Ohio University, Saturday in Athens, Ohio. We'll take a quick timeout. Our next guest says the season's far from over. Don't count out the Saints just yet. Jeff Duncan, The Athletic, here on the Jordy Helpert Show.
Here's three pieces of advice to live by. Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Well, I don't know how we got our next guest. Because with the impact of the news of the New Orleans Saints and quarterback Drew Brees, he's on everybody's radar, but he's kind enough to join us, and that is Jeff Duncan of The Athletic. Take a deep breath. Whew. Thank you, Jeff, for joining us. You all right, man? How are you? How you holding up?
My pleasure, Jordy. Always got time for you, but it's been a huge 48 hours. This is like fans' worst fears realized. But the good news is, if you're looking for a silver lining, it doesn't look like it's a season-ending situation. So there is hope at the end of the tunnel here, light at the end of the tunnel, that their fearless leader, number 9, will be back, hopefully sooner than later, maybe by midseason. Let's see how it plays out.
Any word on the second opinion and when this surgery is going to take place?
No, I haven't heard anything on the evaluation. I feel pretty confident it's going to probably confirm what the first opinion was. I mean, the first opinion was from maybe the most renowned hand specialist in the country, Dr. Shin out in L.A. I would be surprised that there's a different opinion, and I'm sure they're going to have the surgery as soon as possible, because that will start the recovery and rehab process. The sooner the better to get your starting quarterback back in the fold.
Jeff Duncan, The Athletic. You know Drew Brees as well as anybody. I mean, he's the ultimate warrior. If they tell him do 20 exercises on your hand, he's gonna do 2,000. A lot of people think, as the ultimate warrior, he may be back sooner than most people think. But if you can't grip the football, you can't throw it, right?
Yeah, this is a tricky injury, and because it's on his throwing hand, it makes it a little more complicated than most injuries. I think if there's a way to expedite the recovery process, Drew Brees is going to exploit that. There's absolutely no question about it. He has a track record of recovering from injury faster than the normal rehab process, but this is a different animal he's dealing with. It's a tendon, a ligament in his thumb. Right. I'm not sure any amount of recovery is going to strengthen that. So it is, I think, a case-by-case basis on these recoveries. But I think Saints fans should feel confident knowing that if there's any way it can be done, they've got the right guy, trying to get it done, because he's going to do everything he can. One thing I've learned about Drew Brees is he maxes out on everything he can control. He can't control that he's 6 feet tall. He's not the fastest guy in the world, but preparation, diligent conditioning, fitness, everything that's within his power, he goes to the 10th degree, and I'm sure he's going to attack this recovery the same way.
Jeff Duncan, the Athletic Saints play the Seahawks this two-game West Coast road swing. I feel like I'm talking about the NBA, where they're staying out west, and they're going to play the Seahawks this Sunday. Look, the Saints paid a lot of money for the first time to a wide receiver to give Drew Brees and whoever comes after him a big weapon on the outside. They have a line filled with high draft picks and free agent acquisitions. They have one of the top running backs in football. These guys just have to step up. They didn't do it for Teddy Bridgewater against the Rams. They just didn't do it. But this ship has not sunk. There's a lot of talent on the field. Talk to me about that.
Well, you know, I agree with you. I don't think they certainly played their best game in the second half against the Rams. I'm trying to take into consideration the difficult circumstances of playing without Drew Brees, kind of the shock and awe of that for the first time in 13 years, and also balancing the fact that they were playing the L.A. Rams on the road, one of the three or four best teams in the NFL. And, you know, this wasn't the Miami Dolphins or the New York Jets they were playing. This was a very good team with excellent players, excellent coaching staff, well-prepared bunch. It knows the Saints well, so the circumstances I have to take into account. I really think the body of work isn't great enough for us to make any really passing judgments yet on the Saints. I think they have to play better than they have in these first two games. I think they will play better in other areas than they have, just strictly because I think the teams won't be as good as what they played. We knew this first four-game stretch was going to be a gauntlet, and it's playing out that way. And I think the Saints, if they could somehow get through this four games at 2-2, that's what a lot of us thought they would be at. I think even considering the circumstances of all the injuries they have at the receiver position, at offensive line, at linebacker, they would be in great shape to be at 2-2 after four games, all things considered.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know what the status of Andres Pete is. We don't know about Kirkwood, Traquan Smith. There's a whole bunch of injuries out there that we got to find out about. But this is the greatest challenge for Sean Payton. There's no question about that. But they paid Teddy Bridgewater a lot of money to play here. He could have been the starter at Miami. He saw that that was a dumpster fire. He wasn't going there. He wanted to learn from Drew Brees. He's still young. He had one heck of a season at Minnesota. How different do you think this offense looks now, given the skill set of Bridgewater as compared to the skill set of the surefire Hall of Famer?
I don't think it's going to look dramatically different. I think they're just going to tailor some things that will make it easier for Bridgewater. You know, I think they're going to design some rollouts. I think they're going to simplify some things. They're going to have to simplify things. The Saints offense that we are seeing right now is Drew Brees' offense. And what I mean by that, Jordy, is it's very complicated. It asks a lot of everyone involved in the offense because they have a quarterback on the field that can take everything and process it and get it all done. And so it can be that sophisticated. It's like having a different model car. You know, you buy the base model, you buy the intermediate model, you buy the X, right, the upper class model. That's what they have right now. They have a driver that can use all those bells and whistles on the dashboard and knows how to implement them. That's not the case now. They've got someone that's probably going to drive the base model or the intermediate model, and they'll adjust accordingly, and the offense will look different. It's going to look different in that it's not going to be asking as much, I think, of motions and all the things you see pre-snap, that Drew Brees orchestrates a lot of that before the snap on the field. And that's where I think there's going to be a difference. I'm not sure that the average fan is going to be able to see that, but the players will certainly see it.
Wow, very well done, Jeff Duncan of The Athletic. I saw a tweet that you had, and it's disturbing because this guy's got to get better, but Marshawn Lattimore has, He's got to get back to his good old days of the way he used to play, right?
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I tweeted that out today because it was such an eye-opening statistic about him being targeted six times against the Rams, five receptions, 147 yards, I think it was. Jared Goff had a perfect passer rating throwing against Marshawn Lattimore, who's the number one defensive back on this team, a Pro Bowler, two-time Pro Bowler. But in saying that, there were a couple plays where he had pretty good coverage, Jordy, and the execution of the pass and the catch by Brandon Cooks and Jared Goff was just better. It just got beat. He wasn't necessarily in terrible position. So it gets back to what I was saying earlier. I don't think Marshawn Lattimore is going to be facing talent as good as Goff and Cooks or Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins going forward. He's been in pretty decent position in these games. He's just a fraction off in his coverage, mm-hmm. and that's all it takes at this level. The Saints got to get him back, and I think he'll play a lot better. But they can't afford, when they play a team like the Rams without Drew Brees, to not having their elite players play at an elite level, and that's kind of what we saw on Sunday.
Saints have lost Alex Anzalone. He's on the injured reserve list. It looks like that Kiko Alonso trade is a little bit even more significant now that he's in the fray with a game or two under his belt.
Yeah, and A.J. Klein got banged up in the game as well. We don't know his status. I know he was out for a few plays, and Alonso got on the field. And he was a veteran guy. He played at a very high level, very flexible, position-flexible player. In other words, he can play multiple positions at the linebacker core. That's the way the Saints like it. Mike Nolan prefers that among his players. So I think that ends up being a good signing, and they've got to play better on the second level. They haven't played up to their level or standard of a year ago as well, and I think that's hurt them in the running game. They played better, I thought, against the Rams, against the run, than they did against the Texans, and they're going to have to play better this week because Seattle likes to run the ball.
Yeah, and they
do a lot of play action passing off that running game. So if they're able to shut down Carson and Rashad Penny and shut down the run, it makes them a lot easier to defend because it takes away one aspect of their offense.
Jeff Duncan, The Athletic, this is going to be the longest stretch of missed games because of injury in Drew Brees' 19-year career, and that has taken the headlines. But, of course, Saints fans want to know your thoughts on yet another bungled call by, as Cam Jordan calls them, the Foot Locker crew.
Yeah, that was amazing. I can't believe this keeps happening to the Saints. At some point, it just becomes absurd that these calls are being blown and in different ways, all by different crews. I don't know what to think of it anymore. I don't want to say it's incompetence because it's happening to so many different officials, and some of them the best in the league. But it's just a rare streak of bad luck, I think, is the best way I can phrase it. And if you're a Saints fan, if you're a Saints player coach, you just got to have faith that it's going to balance out, that somehow or another you're going to get the benefit of the doubt on a lucky break of a call, and it's one's going to go your way. But I'm starting to wonder if it is or not, because it just seems like it's stacking against the Saints in this.
I'm with you. Jeff, one last question before I let you get out of here. And this came to mind. My coach, Dale Brown, was at his best when there was adversity, when there was chaos, when there was doubters all over the place. Something tells me Sean Payton might be along those same lines where everybody says, no, you lost your star, you can't win. This may be when he thrives. Does he?
Well, look, he learned from one of the great crisis managers in the history of the NFL, and Bill Parcells, who loved creating crises. He wanted chaos because he thinks it galvanizes the team. It forces them to focus and to kind of pull together. And now Sean Payton doesn't have to create anything. I mean, he's got a little bit of a crisis here without Brees and some of these other players that are injured. And I think he's going to revel in this. I think he's going to have a big-time plan for the Seahawks. And I actually think they're going to go up there and win, Jordy. I know a lot of people are saying doom right now, but I think the Saints – they've got a lot of character in that locker room. They know they haven't played their best. And I think they're going to rally in this situation and play their best game of the year up in Seattle. And I think they're going to get the win up there.
That would be awesome because you got to come back and you face the Cowboys, who might be, gee whiz, in the top three or four teams in the league to date with the way they're playing. They haven't played the greatest of competition, but they're really playing good football. So it'd be great to steal one on the road.
Yeah, and look, Bridgewater's got to play well. He's got to play within his means. This is a guy that went to the playoffs with a good Minnesota Vikings team in his career. And that team was built around solid defensive play, a good running game, and Bridgewater making timely throws. He was efficient. He was smart. That's what he's got to do with this team. This team's got to run the ball better. They got to get back to being efficient on offense and being balanced. And they got to play better defense, especially on the back end. They can't be giving up these huge explosive plays and think you're going to survive against good teams. But if they get all those other facets playing well, and Bridgewater just makes the plays that are there for him, I think they can be successful and survive this and get maybe to the midway point of the season around 500 in a division that's perfectly winnable right now. No one's running away with the NFC South. Yeah. The Saints will be right in the thick of things, yes. And I think they have a shot.
Yes. Jeff Duncan, I highly advise all of you, if you want great input and great content, subscribe to The Athletic. There's no advertising in it. It's just great in-depth insight to all your favorite teams, and Jeff is a part of it, and he does a tremendous job on the Saints and everything in the state of Louisiana. So highly urge you to subscribe. It's very affordable, and it is terrific. Jeff, thank you for the time. Now get to your next interview, because you're the busiest man in showbiz.
Thanks, Jordy. Always time for you, buddy. You have a great day, and let's talk again soon, okay, bud?
I would love it. Thank you very much. Jeff Duncan of The Athletic. We'll take a timeout here. D.C.'s Little Capital Exxon. I-10 at the Henderson Cecilia exit in Brobridge. It's my go-to stop, and I'll tell you why. I like clean restrooms. They got them. I like a great supply and a variety of things that I need for my snacks and to quench my thirst, and they've got it, and they've got that true soul food deli tucked away in the corner because nobody makes a cheeseburger like D.C.'s Little Capital Exxon. Nobody. I-10 at the Henderson Cecilia exit in Brobridge. D.C.'s Little Capital Exxon. Guess who's going into the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame? You loved him, now you hate him, but he deserves it. Next.
All the best guests join the Jordy Holtberg Show. If you missed an interview, you can check it out on demand at 1037thegame.com. Now, back to the show.
The 61st Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame enshrinement will take place Saturday, June 27th, the year 2020, in Natchitoches, Louisiana. What a group it is. How about Chicago Bear cornerback, star at UL, Charles Peanut Tillman joining the class. Joe Horn from the Saints. New Orleans native Kerry Kittles, a two-time All-American guard at Villanova, averaged 14 points in an eight-year NBA career. Louisiana Tech Lady Texter legend Angela Turner, who helped her teams to four straight national championship game appearances, including wins in 1981 and 82. Harlem Globetrotter Sweet Lou Dunbar. How about that? And outdoorsman Phil Robertson. I didn't know that Robertson, a Vivian native, was Louisiana Tech's starting quarterback ahead of a young guy by the name of Terry Bradshaw until he gave up football to focus on his love of hunting and fishing. How'd that turn out for the Duck Dynasty reality TV star? Pretty darn good. And the headliner of the class of 2020 in the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame, former LSU football coach Nick Saban, who won 75% of his games in Tigertown. He took a moribund, sleeping giant and elevated it into a world-class operation that we are still feeling the benefits of his efforts to this day and time. Nick Saban said he was thrilled, he was humbled, he was honored. He said he will be here for the induction ceremony. So quite a class, headlined by old Nick Saban. Wouldn't it be great to beat him this year in Tuscaloosa? You remember that game of the century in 2011? 9-6 in overtime, LSU beat Bama in Tuscaloosa. Of course, Bama got revenge in the national championship game. If these two teams meet again in November and they're undefeated, like we all think they could be, we're hoping they will be, ain't going to be no 9-6 game. It's going to be 40-something, 38-something. A lot of offense on these two teams. But anyway, congratulations to all of those members of the Class of 2020 Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame. Time for our daily history lesson as we wrap things up. It was on this day, I'll never forget it, September 17th, the year 1967. Football came to New Orleans. The Saints played their very first NFL regular season game. Oh, the Jet John Gilliam returned the opening kickoff for a touchdown, 94 yards, but alas, poor Yorick, the Saints lost to the, guess who, L.A. Rams, 27-13. On this day, September 17th, 1967. If today is your birthday, happy birthday from all of us to all of you. You share your day with happy 44th birthday to NASCAR's Jimmy Johnson. Happy 34th birthday to the NHL's Alex Ovechkin. Happy 24th birthday to Patrick Mahomes from near and dear and here from down under. One of the best free throw shooters I've ever seen. Former LSU Tiger, Eddie Palyabinskas. He came in as one of the top dual threat quarterbacks, never found his way at LSU, but he's sticking around in the NFL. Happy birthday to Russell Shepard of the New York Giants, and happy birthday to my buddy, my friend, former LSU basketball coach, John Brady. So happy birthday to all of them, to all of you. If it's your anniversary, happy anniversary. Hope you keep adding year after year after year to it. Special thanks to our guest, Cole Wright, NFL Network, Russ Eisenstein, the play-by-play voice of Ohio University, and Jeff Duncan of The Athletic. Tomorrow, we'll go in the trenches with Chris Truax. Michael Huguenin of The Athletic will break down all, and we got a really good weekend of college football. Really good one. So we'll do that, plus much, much more. CD, outstanding as always. Thanks to all of you for listening. Thanks to our partners that make it possible each and every day. And thanks to 103.7 The Game for having me a part of the team. Come on back tomorrow, same time, 2 to 4 p.m. Same great station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. Until then, I'm Jordy Helpberg. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty.